Yeah, it's nice to be back. Thanks for having me, guys. It's a good week with everything happening in West Virginia, in the western part of the state.
Yeah, and this is an area that you know very, very well. I mean, you've built golf courses in this area. You've grown up. You've played here. College golf in the area. I mean, North Carolina, Virginia, West Virginia, and you know this tournament back at the Greenbrier. We were talking yesterday and comparing it a little bit to, you know, when the Saints had that first home game after Katrina, and obviously, you know, the devastation and the destruction wasn't on the same level. But the fact that this, you know, golf tournament is back at the Greenbrier means an awful lot to folks in the area.
Well, it does. It says a lot about the folks in the area, you know, how resilient they are and how proud they are of their area. And to get back, I understand it's just absolutely first class up there after the devastation, and which you would expect nothing less from, Jim Justice and everybody at the Greenbrier. But, you know, that was such a crazy flood. It affected us all the way down to, you know, south part of North Carolina. All the dams releasing all the water, and everything was flooding all the towns. Small towns were had 4 or 5 feet everywhere. It was just a kind of a flash flood that surprised everybody. But it did, I guess, in the news for us in golf, did most of us devastation at the Greenbrier. Just congratulations and a really heartfelt thank you for getting back to, you know, playing this week and, you know, players back there. It just shows a lot about the people in the community.
You know, we've heard a lot about the players really enjoying this tournament, and you know, obviously the Greenbrier is a big part of it. I mean, everything to do there for themselves, for families, you know, the way they're being taken care of. And you mentioned Jim Justice and the job he does, making everybody feel welcome and wanting it to be a great experience. But do me a favor, talk a little bit about Old White. You know, there's been a lot of discussion that, you know, the players like it. It's kind of a old school throwback course. Is that accurate? And explain to our listeners what exactly that means.
Well, I think anybody that plays the game likes more of the old school throwback than some of the modern golf course. And what that means is that, you know, the architects back in the day, you know, didn't have all this heavy equipment. They had to use, you know, basically a horse or donkey and cart and move some dirt. And by that, they didn't move a lot of dirt. They had to use the lay of the land. And in the mountains, it's a little bit different there, too, because you can't move so much dirt. And so in today's time, they can take a piece of property and do anything with it with all this heavy equipment and bringing in dirt and moving dirt out. But it's a beautiful place. I mean, it's pretty. The Greenbrier is the Greenbrier, enough said. And it's just, it's been improved over the years. I guess it did a major renovation before the '79 Ryder Cup there? It's just a wonderful spot. You know, I have a warm spot in my heart and always have for the Greenbrier. My dad worked there, and I went to first grade at White Sulphur Springs. He was under Sam Snead as a head professional, and so I've always enjoyed and always looked forward to going back, and it's just kind of a cool place, and of course the history of it with the bunker and whatnot, but it's a great golf destination.
You know, I had no idea that you grew up in that area, or at least were there for a while. I mean, you know, being up there under Sam Snead, I mean, what an unbelievable opportunity, not only for your dad, but for you as a kid, right?
Oh, my gosh. That was my first time to really, well, I didn't get to know Sam at the time, but we always had that connection, and I played a lot of golf with Sam over the years because of my dad died, you know, when he was 38 years old. But Sam and I got to be, you know, good friends over the years and talk on the phone, played the Disney team event with him one year, and played a lot of practice rounds with him. Always sought him out. He's the best swinger, you know, golf maybe has ever had. You know, maybe one of the greatest, well, maybe the greatest champion that it ever had with his 81 wins, and so I always searched him out to play practice rounds, and he was always great fun and just a joy to watch swing the golf club.
You know, looking at this tournament in day one, you know, for most of the day, Davis Love III was up atop the leaderboard. And, you know, it was an interesting story at the U.S. Open where, you know, he caddied for his son. And once his son qualified, even though he hadn't been playing much and I guess was a little bit banged up, he tried to qualify, thought it'd be great to play with his son, didn't get a chance to do that, caddied for him. But then he comes back, shoots a 63 yesterday. Best round, I guess, he shot all year by 5 strokes. And obviously was a tremendous golfer, you know, back a generation or a decade or so ago. Great to see guys like that emerging and, you know, really not only staying relevant, but being in the mix. And, you know, I mean, guys can still play despite the fact that they get a little bit older now.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, there's a couple things you need to be able to stay. I mean, VJ's out there at 54 or 5 now. I saw he shot 1 or 2 under. You know, they're big men to start with. Davis is 6'4", VJ's 6'4" or 5". So you have to continue to keep your strength, not only off the tee, but out of the rough, being able to chip and putt it, playing different elements, conditions. And they've both done that. And I guess more than anything else, they've stayed relevant. They've stayed in the game. They continue to compete. And so at times, why not? Can they not play a good round? I mean, Davis won on tour at Greensboro, what, last year, the year before, after turning 50. So the game has changed, and I think the equipment has helped them with their strength and length and size. The equipment in the ball has helped them. They certainly hit it far enough, and so as long as they can keep their motivation, and I always say this about Phil, as long as Phil can keep his motivation through some money, he's always a threat on the weekend. But, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, that's when I got to be bored stiff when I'm my last couple, 2 or 3 years on tour. So if you can get motivated to survive those early rounds, then the weekend is great fun. But a lot of times you don't survive them. But if they can keep their energy, keep their enthusiasm, keep focused, then why not?
You know, and we're talking with Curtis Strange here, Virginia guy, obviously 2-time major champion, won the U.S. Open back-to-back in 88 and 89, and now working for Fox. And, you know, talking about Davis, and one of the interesting things, I forget whether I heard it or I read it, but, you know, someone said that he kind of gave up worrying about his length and just worried about keeping it in play and kind of adjusted his game a little bit, you know, to fit the fact that he is getting a little bit of older, and don't try to hit it out with the young guys, just play your game. And that's probably a good lesson for all of us who are getting older, you know, where, you know, length isn't the most important thing in the world, is it?
Well, I'll tell you, I live my whole life by that adage, because I can never hit it by anybody. So it basically is what you're saying is there's a lot of guys that hit it farther than Davis does. But trust me, Davis hits it plenty far. And, you know, golf is about adapting every day, especially when you get older and you have the aches and pains and you have the not quite the feel for the game, because your body is changing every single day. And you're probably not playing as often either. So, you know, you adapt every day, a little Band-Aid here, a little Band-Aid there on your swing, your putting stroke, your chipping technique, whatever it might be. But again, they've stayed in the game. They do have still plenty of strength to play some of these big golf courses. And maybe Greenbrier does help Davis in a little way in this respect. It is not the hardest golf course we play on tour. It's a wonderful golf course. And I actually think golf courses are getting way too tough for the average player. And maybe the professional. Look at Aaron Hills this year at 7,800 yards long. You know, Aaron Hills did, and now we're getting off subject, but Aaron Hills proved to the USGA and the world that length doesn't matter. What did Brooks Koepka shoot, 16 or 17 under? Length doesn't matter. You've got to make these guys drive it straight and chip it and putt it. And so the old white is not the longest, so we do see good scores. But who doesn't like to see professionals shoot good scores and make good shots and make putts and make birdies?
Yeah, no question about it. And, you know, it's interesting. You brought up the U.S. Open, and obviously you were out there for the coverage on Fox. And, you know, the last couple of years, there's been some criticism, and there was some talk this year that they weren't doing some of the things to the golf course that they had traditionally done because the USGA wasn't looking for criticism. What about that? I mean, you talked about the length of the golf course. Talk a little bit more about the U.S. Open and the direction things are going now on the PGA Tour. And maybe we'll talk a little bit more about, you know, the players, because now with, you know, Tiger, you know, having his off the, you know, off the course issues and, you know, Phil getting a little bit older. There's certainly a changing of the guard as far as the dominant players on tour as well.
Well, we go through that a lot, and we're going through a big stage right now. And we have been going through a big stage with Tiger not being relevant anymore and Phil not as relevant as he used to be. But, you know, the direction of golf is the same. I mean, I guess everybody is building longer golf courses, but it only affects a very, very few, and the very few are really the professionals. Sure, there's a lot of good amateurs out there that hit it a long ways, but, you know, they don't play every day. They don't play for a living, so maybe 74 or 500 yards golf course is too long for them. I don't want to play a 74 or 500-yard yard golf course to have fun. The direction of the USGA and the U.S. Open, I will say this. In defense of the USGA, you know, obviously Aaron Hills has been on the schedule for 10 or 12 years. They were always going to set up Aaron Hills a little differently because of the wind, because of the slope of the topography of the land, and have a lot of runoff around the green. So it was not a direct reaction from you know, the controversy last year or Chambers Bay 2 years ago. Aaron Hills is always going to be Aaron Hills, a different U.S. Open setup. Personally, it kind of grew on me a little bit. When you look at it like this, it was nothing like Oakmont last year or Shinnecock next year or Wingfoot the week after that, year after that. It was going to be different. And I'm not saying that once every 10 or 12 or 15 years, being different isn't a good thing. I saw guys have to pitch off tight lies up these slopes. And those who play the game understand how tough a shot that is. The rough is a savior sometimes when you're running through the green. Now it runs down a slope, and that's not an easy shot back. It kind of grew on me. I didn't like the width of the fairways. They were too wide. But overall, it was a pretty good test for the players. A couple things happened for the listeners is that the scores got so low because the wind never blew up there. Mm. It's supposed to blow 10 to 20 every day. That's way up there, by the way, an hour north of Milwaukee. And it rained every night, so we had soft conditions and very, very little wind until Sunday. So, you know, you give these guys a chance to throw darts, and they're going to shoot good scores. So, you know, the USGA was a bit defensive or a lot defensive about that. It was not a reaction from the controversy last year or the 2 years ago, but it was just, you know, there's nothing wrong. It was still a U.S. Open. They got a really, really nice young player, Brooks Koepka, as champion. How good's he going to be? It's all up to him,
right?
How hard he wants to keep working at it. But, you know, golf is still good. I just think it's, you know, I think we're going to see some changes in the next year or two. USGA is taking a very bold move, and some of the new simplifying of the rules, which I completely agree with. Maybe going to play with the ball a little bit, maybe going to play with clubs. Certainly got an issue now with long putter. Are they anchoring? Are they not anchoring? There's some things that have to be cleaned up in the game. And, you know, all these little knick-knack little, you know, injuries I call them, you know, controversies, don't do the game any good. Because the guy playing, you know, the old white next week, staying at the Greenbrier for 3 days with his family, or the guy playing here at Moorhead at the country club today, you know, they really don't give a rat's rear end about anything on tour, because that's really a different world out there.
Yeah, of those rule changes that you said the USGA was going to kind of tweak, simplify, any that you think will really affect the average every day, or maybe not every day, once a week, once a month golfer out there?
Other than just not being so technical with the rules, probably not.
Okay.
The physical aspect of the game plan, no. You know, golf is still, you got to stick in a ball and try to get it in the hole, and that has never changed, and that will continue to be. But as far as simplicity, understanding, more fun, hopefully that becomes more part of the game than it is right now.
Yeah, Curtis Strange joining us here on the Sportsline. Just another minute or so left with him. And Curtis, certainly appreciate your time. You brought up the wind and Aaron Hills not really kicking up and that being one of the defenses of the golf course. Obviously, the British Open, the Open Championship coming up as the next major, and same deal there, right? I mean, you know, year in and year out, depending on obviously where the Open Championship is held, one of the big defenses is typically the wind and the weather, and you get bright, beautiful, sunny, calm days, and you see the same thing over there, whereas, you know, the wind and the weather and the elements kick up, and it changes everything.
Well, and that there's the striking difference in the RNA, which runs the Open Championship and the USGA. You know, the USGA's got this new mantra, the ultimate test. It's not the toughest test anymore. They want to call it the ultimate test. I don't quite understand, but it's still the toughest test the U.S. Open's supposed to be. And they care about being tough, so they set up the course. And if 17 under par, they don't really like it. And they can say what they want, but they really don't like it. The RNA on the other side of the coin doesn't care. They set up the golf course the way they're going to set up the golf course, which is, in most cases, in all of my history over there, doesn't differ much at all from everyday play. And so if the wind blows, 4 or 5 under par shot. If the wind doesn't blow, 17, 18, 19 under par could be shot. They don't care. They put on a wonderful championship and let the best man win, and so be it. Now, they do go more rough, trust me. But they don't bring in fairways, but a very little. They grow more rough. They can't get the greens hard and fast because of the conditions of the wind. If they have Oakmont greens over there at the Oakman, you know, we've seen twice in the last 6 or 7 years play halted over there because of the wind. And the greens are only running about 9 to 10 on the stent meter. Now, that's slow by our standards. So, you know, it's just they know what they're doing over there, and the USGA knows what they're doing. It's just a different attitude, different perspective on what they want their championship to be.
Curtis Strange joining us here on the Sports Line now with Fox Sports. And you told us off the air that you're not playing as much, just kind of chilling out and enjoying life these days, huh?
Well, that's my only option right now. I'd like to be a little busier, but, you know, I do some corporate work, I still do work for ESPN at the Masters, so I do 5 or 6 weeks on TV, and I try to stay busy, but, you know, I don't play any, this is the first year I have not played any tournaments at all, just going to play some social golf and hang out and watch golf on TV. I'm still a fan. I still love it. It's my job, my hobby, everything about it. And just that's what happens. Thank goodness I didn't have to retire at 30 like most other athletes.
Do you miss it? I mean, first year not playing competitive golf. Do you miss it?
Oh yes, you always miss the competition and the energy you get from it and the feeling of always being on edge 24/7. You know, you miss the guys, the locker room. It's all one big happy, well, not sometimes, sometimes not so happy family. But you know, the guys all have different backgrounds, but the same goal in mind is that to be the best you can be. And you know, my real friends are you know, out on tour, and that you have so much in common with them. So yes, you miss it, but you know, there comes a time and a place. You know, yeah. You know, injuries and physical ailments, and you know, just the golf club is a big strain on the back. And you know, one of the few guys we talked about earlier that could do this forever, and it seemed like he never had an ailment, was Sam Snead. He was just such a specimen, and he was very lucky, but he's also a great athlete. And you know, he was my guy growing up in Virginia, as we all know. So I always looked up to him. But you know, it just happens, and I'm happy with it.
And obviously, as you mentioned, Fox and ESPN, and you know, a handful of weeks each year, an opportunity to kind of you know, stay involved, keep your toe in it, so to speak, and you know, be around your peers and your buddies out on tour. That's great.
Well, it is great, and I enjoy it. And you know, the TV work is a great challenge. And you know, there's those that critique us that have no idea how tough it is and how the system it is, and to get it out in somewhat of a smooth fashion is great teamwork. From I don't care if it's Mike Tirico or Joe Buck, through Azinger, through the whole announcers, through me now on the course. And I've been lucky enough to be able to work all the positions, from analyst to whole announcer to now being on course reporter. And it's a challenge. It's learning something new every day, trying to be more concise, more clear to the listener and the viewer, bring them closer to the game. And hopefully we do that just a little bit.
Curtis, I just looked at the clock and I realized we probably kept you a little bit too long, but it was such a pleasure catching up with you once again. Thank you for your time. We'd love to stay in touch and reach out again sometime down the road, if that's all right with you. Thank you.
Anytime. Thanks for having me, guys.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Curtis Strange, kind enough to join us here on the Sports Line. Quick break, and we're coming back with more. Stay tuned.